And I want to share with you today a sermon called Gifts Fit for a King. Fit for a King. Every young child knows that a gift must be opened and explored before its true value can be utilized and realized. Yet many people neglect to unwrap or understand the full implications of the great gift that God has given to us. That gift is Jesus Christ. It is God in the flesh. But it is the salvation that He brings that is really the true gift. For this gift yields eternal life. It is for those who believe in Jesus and come to Him, for He is the Son of God. The Apostle John says it best in that well-known verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He sent and gave His one and only, that whosoever shall believe in Him shall" what? "Never perish, but have eternal life." Yes. You see, Jesus is the source of that gift. And we are the recipients, the gift of eternal life. Christmas is celebrated by giving of gifts. We give gifts to family members, we give gifts to friends, and in many cases we even give gifts to people we do not know, if you took part in the gift giving from the Christmas tree that we had out here. But what caused this? Where did this custom come from? Why do we give gifts? What's its purpose? You ever thought about that? Why do we give gifts? Well, we can learn a great deal from the Magi, or the wise men, who went to visit Jesus in Bethlehem. At first glance, the gifts that they gave of gold and frankincense and myrrh seemed like very unusual gifts for a child. But Jesus was no ordinary child. These gifts symbolized who He is and what He came to do. The story of the wise men is very familiar to us, but we'd all benefit from looking at it through fresh eyes. So God has something for each of us in this amazing account as we look at the meaning of these gifts and then how we should respond to God with these gifts. So let's look at the account of the Magi. Those who came from the east. By the way, in the Greek it says, those who came from the rising sun. So they came from the east to seek out Jesus. Well, the Magi were probably from around Babylon, which is in Mesopotamia, or if you want to look at it, is probably from the Baghdad area of Iraq today. They were astronomers who discovered an unusual star that indicated the birth of a long-expected Jewish king, or their Messiah. But how did they know about that? How did they know about the Jewish history? Well, our scripture tells us about it. In the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, it helps us to make a connection between the Babylonian Empire and Israel. For years earlier, Babylon came and overpowered Judah and Jerusalem, and he took captive many people, took them back to Babylon, and one of them was Daniel. Daniel was a teenager who grew up under their king, and the people of Babylon knew David as the one who had the gift of interpreting dreams. The king had dreams, and it was Daniel who interpreted from him. And so from their history, the Magi learned about the people of Israel, learned about their God, and learned about the promised Messiah that they were waiting for. And when this star appeared, the Magi recognized it as something significant, and they followed it. You know, today we don't think of stars as a means of divine guidance. But God made the sun, the moon, and the stars, and He designed them not only for light for the world and for earth, but for our guidance. For reading in Genesis 1, that first chapter of creation, Genesis 1:14, it says, "Let there be lights in the heavens to divide the day from night, and let them be signs and seasons for days and years." Wow, God gave us the moon and the sun and the stars for us to tell time. You ever think about that? And also used it to help us to guide our way. The use of the star as a sign led the Gentiles, these rulers, these wise men, these kings, to come to the Messiah. And so it shouldn't be a surprise that now you know how it happened. Sailors use stars to guide themselves on ocean voyages. Stars can also help you when you're in the forest and you're lost. For once you find the North Star, you're able to find and give yourself directions so that you won't become lost anymore. Well, King Herod had a great surprise when the wise men showed up one day, coming to Jerusalem, and said, "Where is he who was born King of the Jews?" Herod said, "What king? I don't know of any king. I'm the king. There is no other king but King Herod." So he went to his wise men or his people and said, "Where would this king be born?" And they said, "The Magi, according to Micah 5:2, says that he will be born in Bethlehem." And so when the king found out about this, he went back to the wise men. He said to them, "Go find the child and then report back to me that I may also come and worship him." Yes, and you know what happened his worship was going to be. He was going to cut him off. These Magi, who were men of faith, went out and they found the star again, and when they arrived in Bethlehem, where Jesus was, it says they fell down on the ground and they worshiped him. And they offered to him gifts which were fit for a king. You know, they probably didn't know the ultimate significance of those gifts. Each one is very appropriate and prophetic for the Son of God. For Scripture speaks of only three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So let's look at these gifts. Let's see what they bring to us that may help us in our worship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The first was gold. Now, gold may not seem a fitting gift for a young child, especially one born into a lowly family of a carpenter. But the symbolism reveals why it is very appropriate. In the ancient world, gold was given to show honor and high esteem. It was a gift that was befitting a king. And that's what Jesus is, exactly a king. In his ministry, he claimed to have a kingdom. When Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, you are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason, I was born. And for this, I came to the world. He came as a king to rule in eternity. And he clarified the matter by saying, my kingdom is not of this world. And you and I, as we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray for thy kingdom come. You see, this gift of gold then shows Jesus as a king. The second gift that we have was a gift of frankincense. What do you know about frankincense? Is that something part of your daily life? No. You see, frankincense was a very important role in Jewish worship. It was used in the temple. As a priest would come into the holy place, he would take and sprinkle on the burning coals of the golden altar this frankincense, and it would send up fragrant smoke within the temple. And that smoke, symbolizing the offerings of our prayers to God. For you see, there was a veil between where God dwelt and where the holy place was. And so that offering of fragrance was offered up to God as our gift. Frankincense symbolizes or pointed to Jesus then as our high priest. Now, if you look at that picture and you look and you see over on the left there, that lady in the yellow shirt and the white hat, well, that's Betty. That's my wife. This was taken in the country of Oman, out in the desert where the frankincense trees grow. And as that tree ages, it oozes out a sap amongst its trunk. And that sap hardens and it becomes a resin, which they break off and harvest. And that is the frankincense that comes from that tree. And so Jesus Christ, as our high priest, became our bridge builder. He made that bridge that overshadowed that chasm of sin so that we might then have a way between God the Father and our sinful nature. For Jesus came to die for our sins to allow us then to have a relationship with God. For 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and it's the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all men and all people. He died for you. And you. And you. And he died for me. He offered his own blood to atone for sin, one time and forever. He fulfilled all of the offerings that the Jewish people had to make, and he, with his body, did that one offering, one sacrifice for the whole world. But his priesthood didn't end then. He's still fulfilling his priestly duties and roles as he sits at the right hand of God the Father, there interceding on our behalf. He is the high priest. The gift of frankincense. The third gift is that of myrrh. Myrrh was a costly perfume. It was used mainly for burials. Now, you can understand that, can't you? For what the perfume was used for burials. And at that time, bodies of the dead would be wrapped in linen cloth and sprinkled with myrrh. You see, this gift prophetically speaks of Jesus' death and his role as our Redeemer. He didn't come to live, but he came to die for the sin of mankind. He came to lay down his life so that we might be saved from eternal separation from God and for eternity. He is our Redeemer. This gift of myrrh showed his prophetic symbolism. When Nicodemus took the body of Jesus from the cross, wrapped it in linen, and it said with about 75 pounds of mixture of myrrh and aloes, he buried Jesus in that linen. Three gifts that they gave in worship of Jesus. For the gold, showing him as our king. The frankincense, showing him as our high priest. And the myrrh, indicating he is our Redeemer. King, high priest, Redeemer. Three gifts that God gave to you that we might have life, have it everlasting. You see, God was preparing the way for people to be saved from their sins, to be part of that heavenly worshipers that will praise Jesus in eternity. Just as the angelic host praised God before the shepherds, so we will be with the angelic host in heaven in eternity, praising God. For according to Revelation 5, 11 and 12, it says, "And then I looked, and I heard the voices of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000, and they encircled the throne. And in a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.'" You see, the shepherd beheld the glory of his birth. And we, when we are in heaven, will be part of the glory of Jesus as we honor him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, as the Magi gave gifts to Jesus, what should we offer him in return? What should we give in response to what God gave to us? Well, we only ask for one thing, that we offer ourselves and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and to praise and worship him as our God. This is what Christmas is all about. The coming of Jesus into this world for you and for me. King, High Priest, Redeemer. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, it is with joy that we are here today to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus, thanking you for who he is, what he has done for us, that we, through our faith in Jesus, might have life and have life everlasting. Amen.